What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. I'm Kevin Scarrett, and with me is Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Very good. So we are down to it. We just have two to go, and today we are talking about the innocent archetype, and compared to next week, the ruler archetype. These are probably the two most different ones, where today it's very soft and warm and fuzzy. The listeners can actually listen to us talk really nice and soft and airy voices. So that's going to happen. And then next week, it's all going to be about power and dominance. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, good. Okay, so the innocent archetype is, let's talk about the big ideas. It's all about making things simple and happy and optimistic and making people feel positive about themselves and making them feel content. You know, kind of getting the idea, right? So if we think about like Coca-Cola and how you felt when you were a little kid, that, you know, those childlike, simple ways of life and family values. And, you know, that's the kind of feeling that great innocent brands want to convey. They're very straightforward. They're transparent. They're trustworthy. And probably the biggest idea for this archetype is to try to remove chaos from people's lives, that life is just too chaotic. And in a lot of industries, the processes are too complex, like technology and, you know, even like social media. There's just so many moving parts. If you as a consultant can convey, yeah, I'm going to make this really easy. I'm going to take all that garbage away from you. Take that chaos away, right? Are you feeling it?
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling low energy and just breath of fresh air. Yeah. Everything's relaxing. Yeah, so as like most archetypes, they are sometimes known by other words. And with this one, we generally refer to, like you said, the innocent. But it's also can be referred to as the angel, the traditionalist, the purist, or the idealist. And so we call it the innocent, and then one of the sub archetypes is the angel. So Kevin, why don't you tell us about the sub archetypes?
Sure. And just like most of our archetypes, we can subdivide them, subcategories. And like I said, one of them is called the angel. A few years ago, we actually referred to the innocent archetype as the angel archetype. But when we started coming up with the idea of sub-archetypes, we said, you know what, there's definitely a split here. And so we started calling the sub-archetype the angel, that which focuses on simplicity and the removal of chaos. The other sub-archetype is called the child, where that focuses on family values and being childlike. So one is how you are, and the other is what you do. Right, so removing chaos or being childlike. So as we go through examples, you can actually kind of see which one is which. So why don't you give us the biggest example, the one that Marx and Pearson gave us in their book, The Hero and the Outlaw. It's probably the easiest innocent archetype example. And what is it, Amy?
You referred to it earlier. It's Coca-Cola. So if you think about sharing a Coke and a smile, or having a Coke with a friend, or drinking a Coke in a hot summer day when you were a kid. And also the Coca-Cola company is kind of unique in the fact that they change their tagline a lot more often than most companies do. And over the years, their taglines have been very consistent with their innocent brand, however. So some of the examples of their tagline: in 2009, their tagline was Open Happiness. And in 1979, it was Have a Coke and a Smile. 1960 was Relax with a Coke, and 1944 was A Moment on the Sunny Side. So, as you can see, even though their taglines changed, they still stuck with that innocent brand, and it comes through with those words that they chose. Another great example is Ivory Soap. Their mantra is it's 99.44% pure, which I think begs the question, what is that other slight percent there? What, it's not pure? I don't know. and then we have Snuggle toilet paper with that cute little stuffed bear. It's kind of, you know, most kids have a little teddy bear, some kind of snuggly thing. So that tracks there with the innocent archetype. Chobani yogurt. And so we've often talked about how some industries tend to gravitate towards certain archetypes, and the health food industry definitely can gravitate towards the innocent archetype because, you know, health food companies or health products tout the fact that they have very few ingredients, they're all natural, you know, their packaging is biodegradable, all that good stuff. So that's all kind of simple and innocent-like and protecting the earth. And then on that same vein, another great example would be Toms of Maine. Hey, I rhymed. Toms of Maine with their tagline is the good stewards of the environment. And they're, you know, they have toothpaste and other types of products that are healthy and good for the environment and stuff like that. So those are some great examples.
Yeah, excellent. So let's do our usual SWOT analysis. And by the way, a SWOT analysis is not an innocent thing to do, because it's all about data and, you know, evaluation, and that's just not the innocent, you know. But we're going to do it anyway. So let's go through the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats. So let me start out with the strengths or the pros. So being optimistic is a good thing in that people generally don't want negativity in their life. They don't want to feel bad. They're drawn to being optimistic, just in general. So if you, as a brand, are able to make people feel happy and rejuvenated and content and all that good, warm, fuzzy stuff, that's a really good string, a thing. It's a very strong approach. Another benefit is that taking this approach makes you and your products and your services very simple and easy to understand. And with all of this removal of chaos comes a level of trust. So listeners, remember we talked about trustworthiness with a neighbor, and that's just, you know, comfort and familiarity and, you know, just being around someone who's easy to get along with comes with trust, right? And then the guru, their trustworthiness comes from knowledge and wisdom and understanding and this depth of experience, both very highly trustworthy. Well, the innocent is also very trustworthy in that you feel that they're not going to do you wrong, that they're going out of their way to remove all this chaos and make things better for us. And because of that, there's a high level of trust. Good stuff?
That's very good stuff. Yeah. So unfortunately, though, we have to talk about the cons or the weaknesses as well as part of the SWOT analysis. So one of the things that you don't want to fall into the trap of if you are the innocent archetype is that if you are too simplistic or childlike, people might not take you seriously. So you have to kind of walk that fine line of removing the chaos and giving that feeling of simplicity and childlike wonder without dumbing it down too much. And it might be difficult to pull it off if you personally or your company requires a fairly deep dive into techie jargon, complex explanations, or lots of detail. It doesn't necessarily have to do with your industry. Your industry can be full of those kinds of things, but it's just how you portray your brand and your products that way. But if you yourself likes all that kind of data and techie stuff, then this probably, you know, might not be the best fit for you. Because these approaches don't feel really innocent, and throwing a lot of those, that data and that kind of stuff in there just weakens your approach to your innocent brand. Does that make sense?
I can see that.
Yeah.
So what are the opportunities? Well, if you have a competitor who is difficult or, you know, brash, you know, like an outlaw or a ruler archetype, you know, being cheery and easy to work with, you know, people feel good about that. There's an absolute opportunity going up against competitors who aren't that. they won't create that level of trust, and they won't have that same warm and fuzzy feeling, right? So using simple, uplifting words and messages and leaving people feeling hopeful and contented and all those good things, that's an opportunity for you to not just reinforce your brand, but to differentiate you from your competition. So if your competition is serious or complicated or intense, and you can be positive, you know, it's a very refreshingly simple feel, and that will go well with your target audience.
Excellent. So the last part of our SWOT analysis is the threats. So if you are an innocent brand, what is threatening to you, or what do you not like? So I think that the worst thing for an innocent brand is to do something wrong, to break that trust or let someone down. It's kind of like a child disappointing a parent, those kinds of things. Like, I was never like afraid of my parents in like a physical way. I was just really afraid of disappointing my parents. So it's kind of that feeling of that child parent kind of thing.
I think that we all feel that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully you do have a sense of not wanting to disappoint your parents or whatever. That's, I think having a part of that is good. As a parent, I can say that too. But the other thing about that could be a threat to the innocent is, like we've been talking about too, allowing things to be too confusing or too complex. So straying into that, you know, world of jargon and data and all that stuff that we just don't want to muddle our heads with if we're the innocent brand.
Well, Amy, it seems to me that if we have these threats and we have these opportunities, it sounds like that we need to get our message right. And to get our message right, I think we're going to need some good words.
Yay, my favorite part.
The word part. Yeah. So why don't you give us some powerful words that we can use?
Absolutely. So some of the power words, and like, you know, one of those words would not actually be the word power for the innocent. But some some words are casual, community, easy, effortless, family, natural, peaceful, relaxed, safe, simple, user-friendly, and welcome. And some of the verbs could be aid, assist, ease, help, hush, quiet, reduce, relax, rest, silence, still, undo, unwind. Are you feeling more relaxed now?
I do.
Yeah, very peaceful.
Like, it's like I'm lying in a hammock on a sunny day.
Yes, awesome.
Yeah. You know, it just dawned on me. I know you're going to give a plug for the word bank here, but you know, it just dawned on me, and I'm doing this so I don't forget, queuing this idea up. I think it would be really great to for a future episode to have an entire episode on not just the words, because, you know, our word banks are full of them, but how they can be used and what they mean and how you weave them into your marketing message. Like, if I take the word, hush, you know, that when you just hear the single word all by itself, it you know, it's like, how in the heck am I going to use the word hush in a marketing message? And there are so many creative ways to do that. I think that just throwing the list at people is a starting point, because it saves them tons of time and energy of having to research those words themselves. And because we've been working these lists for, you know, a decade and a half, they're very refined. They're, you know, not, it's not to say that every single word on the list is going to be exactly right for every single brand, but you've got tons and tons of words to choose from. But I think there's a whole nother step there, that there's lost opportunity if they don't think about how the words are going to be used. So let's cue that up for a future episode, huh?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I could get really into that.
I'm sure you could.
I absolutely was going to do a little plug for our word banks. So if you like these words and you want to hear more words and get into the nitty gritty of all the words and verbs and power phrases and things like that, that'll be great for the innocent brand or any archetype that you choose. We have what we call our word banks for each archetype, just pages and pages of words and phrases. And those can be available to you for $29.95 each. And you can get those by going to brandarchetypes.com.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about the visuals. We started this just a couple of archetypes ago, podcasts ago. And I think it's a good thing. And, you know, when we talk about the archetypes that we talked about earlier in our series, You know, I don't want to go back and re-record those, but we'll definitely tap into these ideas. But the visuals for the innocent would be to keep things very light and airy, you know, to have brighter, sunnier, you know, lots and lots of diffuse light gives, you know, the feeling of openness and cleanness and, you know, kind of a elegant simplicity, right? And the idea of elegant simplicity is super important. Keep things nice and airy and open. And when you see a picture of a living room, let's say, and all the shades are open, there's tons of light coming in and it's bright and it's cheery, right? And then you show the exact same living room at night, the blinds are closed, it's dark, and you got one little table in. It's the same room, but just the lighting, how much light there is, totally changes the mood. And what we're saying is go on the side of brightness and airiness and lightness, right? So dark, heavy presentations and dark colors. Not to say that you can't have elegant simplicity with dark colors. Absolutely you can. But just be careful because darkness will give a certain heaviness which pulls away from this innocent archetype feeling, right?
Absolutely. And if you want to see some examples of that, you can just go to brandarchetypes.com to the innocent page and see the presentation there. And also there's examples on there of the some video ads and different examples of other companies that are the innocent brand. We mentioned a couple here, but there's more on that page. So check it out if you're at all interested in the innocent brand.
Yeah, and it's not just the visuals, it's not just the words, it's the overall presentation. You know, so like if you watch that Toms of Maine commercial, it's just even the way the person talks. It's just very simple and it's easy and it's not in your face. And it's a combination of the video and the words and the overall presentation. It's just, you know, that's why we have it on the page as an example for everybody to see.
Right. And we've said this before, but I'm just going to reiterate it here, that choosing an archetype for your brand is all about focusing on the feelings and emotions that you want your clients to have with interacting with your brand. And even after they've thought about your brand or seen a commercial, things like that. So everything you do is trying to evoke that particular main emotion that is going on with that archetype.
And I would even add that when Amy says, everything you do, she really means 100% of everything you do, not 99%, not 99.5%, 100%. You know, so the closer you can get to 100% of everything that you do evoking that emotion, then the better and the stronger your brand will be. Yeah, I don't think you could come up with any better advice compacted into one sentence than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%, stay true to your brand, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, we have other archetypes that we can go up against. So let's talk about that. Let's have the innocent go up against the guru.
Okay. So, yeah, you could definitely go up against the guru. They both have similar energy levels on the low end of the spectrum. I think the innocent's probably could be, we could argue that might be the lowest energy level. Guru's pretty down there. But the gurus tend to, we've talked about this before, get mired down in the complex world of data and information, and their trust is built on information and having the expertise. And that's a different angle than the innocent takes. And so if you don't like data or your customers want a simpler explanation of things like that, you could go up against the guru pretty easily.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick one for you. Let's see. Okay. Let's have the innocent go up against the hero.
The hero. Well, the first thing that pops into my mind is if I compare and contrast just the first blush of innocent versus hero. Heroes are these dynamic, high, super high energy, you know, so that's the biggest difference right there is the energy level. But they're fearless. And that's, you know, that's why we love heroes is they're fearless. They will absolutely throw themselves into situations that everybody else looks at is scary and daunting. And it's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad they did it instead of me, which is why they're a hero. Right. Well, innocents don't do scary and daunting. You know, they avoid that like the plague. They try to remove scary and daunting from our lives, and they make things simple so that we don't have to deal with these scary and daunting things. So that's, I think, a hero would be a very easy thing for an innocent to go up against.
Absolutely. Right?
But, yeah, we have overlapping archetypes as well. So why don't you give us some overlapping ones?
Yeah, so I think that there could be a case made for the fact that the innocent and the mother archetype are similar in a lot of ways. The mother generally makes their clients feel safe and secure by removing chaos and danger, just like a mother would, and the innocent kind of does the same thing. So there's overlapping there, and then...
So yeah, go ahead. Let me make a comment. Is when you go to brandarchetypes.com and... you want to kind of tap into this for the very first time, the first thing that we would suggest is that you take the questionnaire. The very first person from your company, if it's you, instead of just taking it by yourself and then telling everybody else about it, what you should do is go take the test, set it up for your company, and then invite them, invite everybody else, your family, your friends, your other coworkers, invite them to participate in the questionnaire. And send them the invite from the questionnaire. That way, all of the data will be tied together. And the reason I'm saying this here is when you look at the archetypes and where they appear in people's lists, it kind of makes sense that the high-energy ones will be kind of batched together and the low-energy ones will be batched together because that's just the way people think and feel. But there are some archetypes where they almost always go hand in hand. And this is one of them. The mother archetype and the innocent archetype overlap so much that they almost always appear on the list right next to each other, which is very interesting. So I'm kind of reinforcing what you're saying, Amy, is that the mother and the innocent absolutely overlap. I think they probably overlap more than any two archetypes out of the 12 basic ones. And there was even a stretch, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, where we had a discussion if there is even a difference. Do we need to have both archetypes? They overlap so much. And absolutely we do. You know, it's, you know, if you take a look at the difference between Coca-Cola and Campbell's soup and how they portray themselves, that's the difference between the mother and the innocent, right?
Absolutely.
So what other overlapping ones do we have?
Yeah, I think that the innocent and the neighbor could also be kind of similar. Mm-hmm. They're both based on trust and trust based on familiarity, too, which is one of the reasons I think they're really similar. And I also, you know, the neighbor, or sometimes they call it the everyday girl, everyday guy, guy next door, girl next door kind of thing, is that they're simple, straightforward, predictable. It's their nature. And I think that this quality makes them very similar to the innocent as well.
Yeah. Good stuff. So... we have one to go. Can't wait. The ruler is going to be all about power and dominance next week. Tune in. If you have questions about anything that we talked about today, of course, feel free to call us. And like Amy said earlier, the word banks are available for $29.95. Just reach out to us at brandarchetypes.com or go to any of our social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere you go on social media, you'll find us there. So, look forward to connecting with you. Amy, thanks for a great session.
Thank you too, Kevin. Hope you have a relaxing week.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.